Glad you're here today. And I want us to look at just the first seven verses today. Glad to see each one of you. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. By the way, Brother David Ballard's back with us. We're glad he's back. We missed him. But he's not completely healed up. That was a big incision they made, taking that appendix out. So still pray for him. He's still tender and still has a lot to heal up. Amen? But he's starting to function a little bit. Teenagers, don't tackle him right now. You might be able to get him right now, but when he comes back, he'll get you. But he's still got to heal up. And I want to thank the ladies that filled in for school this week for Brother David. Boy, I'll tell you, when he's gone, we were pulling our hair out here just trying to keep the ship going here. He means a lot to our school. And thank God for all you teachers. They're so faithful. Thank you. And the kids, we did all right this week. We made it. Amen? And we're thankful for each one of you. Alrighty. Here's the title of the message, Danny or Johnny. To two words, O Lord. That's the title of the message, O Lord. Notice in verse 1 of Psalms 102, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I'm in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. It's amazing how we always want God to come right now. We always put him off, but boy, when we need something, God, we need you right now. We need you immediately. For my days are consumed like smoke. My bones are burned as a hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass. Look at the descriptive words here. My heart is smitten, verse 4, and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Do you ever become so sick or so saddened in your heart that you didn't care about eating? And then he gives an illustration, and he uses a couple animals to let you relate to. Look at verse 6. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Heavenly Father, so many people need prayer today. I believe this statement, O Lord, will go up many times even today. And Lord, I believe it's went up many times this week throughout our congregation. I believe those two words, O Lord, has went up many times. And Father, I pray that today, as I preach, that you will comfort my heart in my sadness for people. And I pray that I can comfort them also. Lord, if I have sadness, they must also have it. So, Lord, help me to be a blessing to all. And, Lord, may we rejoice in the things of God, knowing that one day you're going to come and take us out of here. And all these things that are heartaches today will be all passed away forever. I lift up my whole congregation to you this morning, Father. Please bless them. And, Lord, just touch them from heaven, I pray. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You know, there will be many days in our life where we will cry out like the psalmist did in Psalms 102, verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Yes, young people, especially when you're young, there are some good days that you experience in life. And older people do experience good days too. But there's going to be some days when our hearts are low and they're heavy. And it seems like nothing helps sometimes. The only hope we have is in God above. Some days in your life, young people and older folks, someday the only solace you can get is from God. How many of you have ever been there? No words that a preacher can say, no a spouse or some. Sometimes it just has to be God, or no, there's no helping. We don't worry so much about the Lord during those times when all is going well and things are pleasant and things are good and we're all the same. I'm the same way. Thanks, God. On my way, amen. But when the bottom's pulled out and it seems like there's no hope and it seems like there's only two words that we all know very well. When Miss Mert, when we're in a valley and when it seems like the skies are just darkened and gray and no hope and no light, seems like there's two words that all of us know real well. And those two words are, "Oh Lord. Oh Lord, help me. Oh Lord, heal me. Oh Lord, I need you so much. Oh Lord, I feel all alone. Oh Lord, please hear my prayer. Oh Lord, show me. Oh Lord, guide me. Oh Lord, teach me. Oh Lord, touch me. Oh Lord, make me well." And it goes on and on. You know, verse 1 there, you'll notice David the psalmist said, "Hear my prayer, O Lord." You know, I wonder how many times this week alone, the people of our church, just our membership, has said, "O Lord, hear my prayer." You know, I just sat down last night, Eddie, and I was so overwhelmed with the hurt of people. And this is just the people's lives that touched me this week. And I wonder how many times this week Grandma and Grandpa Lumley said, "Oh Lord, help us in our old age. Grandpa can no longer walk. Grandpa's confined to the house. Grandma's trying to take care of him. She's in her upper 80s. You ever imagine what goes through their mind and their heart? I wonder how many times this week they said, "Oh Lord." I was with James Wolf yesterday. His wife called in tears. Rosie said, "Honey, Mrs. Wolf just called. Her husband's real bad." And I went down there, and to be honest with you, Jimmy's in critical condition. And he's been like that for a long time. He has a hard time breathing. He's got a lot of things wrong inside his body. He's went through all kinds of surgeries, went through all kinds of heartaches and hardships. To be honest with you, he's been in Robinson Hospital, Cleveland Clinic. He's been in all kinds of places. And Carl, I went there yesterday, and he just said, "Preacher," because we wanted to send him back to the hospital. He said, "No more doctors. No more, no more." You see, sometimes you get to a place in your life, you just get too tired. And you get down to, "Oh Lord, I need you. Oh Lord, I want you." Most of you don't know Jimmy James Wolf, but when he was well, he used to come here all the time on Sunday mornings, sometimes Sunday nights. You know, he's an old veteran. He was a sergeant, but he was in the Army. And I really like Jim. He's got that old flag that we gave him right in his front, that in the picture with the preacher with him. He's a good guy. I've watched him suffer. I've watched him suffer for the last 3 or 4 years. Boy, it's rough sometimes. And to be honest with you, Eddie, yesterday, I saw he just didn't have a will to live no more. And I prayed with him, and I prayed with his wife. And to be honest with you, I prayed to the Lord after went in my car. God would intervene, and if it be his will, take him to heaven. I wonder how many times. Right now, they're at the hospital. I wonder how many times this week the Shackelfords, Kelly and Chuck, have cried out, "Oh Lord, help our baby." I wonder how many times Art Robinson and his wife, especially when we got those calls when the baby couldn't breathe, I wonder how many times they cried out this week, "Oh Lord, help our baby boy." I was with Tom and Annie Saylor yesterday. I was with a lot of people yesterday. Annie's still trying to recover from heart surgery. And I'm going to make a statement, and it's not a, I hope you understand what I'm saying here. They had a little kitty that they had for 19 years. That little kitty died. That little cat died this week. I know it's just a cat. But I'm going to tell you, our pets become part of our families. When that little cat died this week, it took a toll on Tom. It took a toll on Annie. They love that little kitty. You say, "Well, preacher, just I don't care. It's still something important in their life." I heard Tommy weep over the phone this week. I said, "Don't be embarrassed, Tommy. That's not wrong that you care about that little animal." By the way, I preached to the kids about Jonah Friday. He said not only was there 120,000 people that got saved in the city of Nineveh, but he said there was also much cattle. You see, God loves our animals too. They don't have a soul like you and I, but he still loves them. And I know this week, in their hurt, Tommy and Annie have cried, "Oh Lord." I thought about Ella Morris fighting for her life for cancer, taking those treatments. And Steve and Jan Robinson with all their major problems inside. I wonder how times they cried out, "Oh Lord." And Jimmy Furness, he's here today. Boy, we miss him, don't we, when we're not here? He's been so sick. You might get mad at me, but I've been telling Jimmy to stay home. He said, "I'm going to be." I said, "No, you stay home, Jimmy, till you feel good. Listen, I don't want him to get pneumonia. He's already sick." I wonder how many times this week his precious wife, Judy, has cried, "Oh, Lord, please help my husband. Oh, Lord, help my daughter." Do you know their daughter, Jody, in the last six to eight weeks has went through 42 pints of blood? You need to pray for Jody. We need a miracle for Jody. I thought about Harry Arney and Wilma. They're here today. Wilma's got all kinds of health problems. Harry's got those things keep coming on. You got cancer. They got to keep cutting them off. I wonder how many prayers went up from Arnie's house this week. Oh, Lord, hear my prayer. Amanda Black's been real sick for over a week. Little man, Roddy's preaching in another church. Rod and Debbie are preaching in another church today. Amanda's missing a lot of school. I don't know how she's even going to make it up. It's going to be real hard. She's been so sick. The last 2 weeks she's been with so much pain, and they said now she's going to have her tonsils taken out, and I don't think they can wait on it. And I've seen the stress on Debbie as she comes in every day to school. I'd ask her how Mandy and John's been fighting it too. I don't know. John boy's had trouble for the last couple of weeks with his throat. I wonder how many prayers went up out of out of Debbie Black's home this week and Rod. Oh, Lord, help our children. I thought about Kim Allen, a man that died this week. I preached his funeral. I got a call on Tuesday, and they said, Kim Allen died, and they request you to preach his funeral. He said that he was a member of your church. And I told the funeral director, I said, I don't recall. I'm not sure. The name seems a little familiar to me, but I can't pull the person up. And I called his wife and talked to her. And her name is Christine. And I said, Christine, this is Pastor Skyver. I'm so sorry about your husband. 46 years old. Perfect health. Perfect shape. Guy was, he hunted and fished, and the guy was just a complete, he was like an athlete. He was in perfect shape. Good condition, trim body. She said, Pastor, he went to bed last night and said his chest, he had some chest pain. She said, do you want me to take you to the hospital? He said, no, it's just some of those green peppers I made. And I'll be all right in the morning. They went to bed and she woke up. She said, come on, Kim, it's time to go to work. And he didn't move. He died in his sleep. I wonder how many prayers his wife, Chris, has said this week, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I said, are you sure you got the right preacher? She said, I'm sure, preacher. You're the preacher. They were thanking me. I went to Wednesday night before church. I went down to the calling house. People were coming up, hugging me and thanking me. Andy, I couldn't even think of them. I didn't know who the man was. When I got there, I saw his nice. Oh, yes. I had Rosie check the records. People were coming to me Wednesday night and Thursday. They hugged me and said, You did so much for Kim. You did so much for Kim. And thank you. And I said, I'm not sure I'm the man. And then I saw him. And I remembered he was an alcoholic. He was a street kid. Tough guy. Tubby Smith told me Thursday at the funeral, Tubby said he helped carry these chairs in. We got record of them coming to our, they first came to our church when they were in the year 2000, September 2000. By the way, they both signed the card, and they weren't married then, Carl. And they said that, and after the funeral, I talked about how he got saved here. I remembered how he came forward. And his wife came up and said, preacher, you don't remember. But I got saved about a month after he did. And see, they moved away. And they've moved away. I hadn't talked to them for 4 or 5 years, and they just recently moved back. Matter of fact, she said, preacher, he had just bought a new Bible and was going to come to your church this Sunday. But he said this. He talked about you every day, preacher. They said, preacher, he talked about you all. They said, and by the way, he hadn't drank alcohol for over 5 years. It's amazing when you get saved, what happens? He kept drinking. He just started drinking from a different fountain. Amen? And Tubby Smith said, hey, Tubby Smith, I think it's Tubby. He looked pretty tough. He said, preacher, he started talking about the land. And he said, I thought he was talking about the property they just bought out there in Diamond. And then he said, no, he wasn't talking about. He was talking about Infirmary Road. Here's a guy that wasn't in our church for over 4 years, but he got saved here. I hadn't talked to him for over 5 years. this guy's talking about us every day, and I don't even hardly know who he is. You know, you never know what God's going to do, do you? That's why you got to reach out to people now, because you just never know. His brother came up to me. By the way, his brother's in the hospital right now. Donnie, coronary care from Alabama. Donnie got saved. He was telling me about his brother, him, how they would talk about the Lord. And another guy came up and said how he'd talk about the Lord. And Eddie, there were so many people there. Every seat was filled. And they were lined like a horseshoe all around the building. They were out of chairs and they were standing up at the funeral. And I thought to myself, I wonder how many times those people this week cried out, "Oh Lord. Oh Lord." I thought about Johnny Black, Kim Allen, Christine Allen. I went to see Don Allen yesterday. I saw Ron Posey this week, Kathy's dad. And he's got a lot of health issues. We could lose Ron anytime. Had a tremendous time talking to him about his salvation. I wonder how many times this week, though, they've cried out, "Oh Lord, help me." I went down and saw Gary Young, Phyllis Knight's brother-in-law. She called me and said, "Preacher, they don't know if he's going to live. He's has to have emergency surgery Tuesday. I went over and prayed with him. I was with him again last night." He was smiling, laughing. I said, "How you doing, preacher?" It's amazing how God can keep people going sometimes. And I wonder how many times Gary Young said, "Oh God, help me this week." I thought of Terry Young. He's here. He injured his arm and shoulder not too long ago. And his dad, Bill Young. Thought about him this week. Billy has a lot of health issues. How many times Louise has prayed that during this week, "Oh Lord, help my husband." I thought about Mona Hargett. Her daddy's going through trouble, and there are a lot of family members. How many times Mona's cried out, "Oh God, oh Lord, help me." I thought about little Ian's mother. Little boy we prayed for that died. Can you imagine how much that lady's hurting today? I wonder how many times she might have looked up and said, "Oh Lord, help me." Dave Ballard trying to recover from appendix surgery. Steve Browning waiting to have hernia surgery. Austin Shell. Broken arm. About a month ago, broke the other arm. I'm glad he only has two arms. Little Jimmy with his eyes. I wonder how many prayers went up this week just for little shell kids. Oh, Lord, help them. I thought about Jeannie and Eddie Wilson. Constantly taking care of Dakota. Constantly with the pressure of something going wrong. I wonder how many prayers went up with her. "Oh Lord, help my boy this week." Nicole Browning recovering from foot surgery. Stuck at home with Sean. You know she prayed, "Oh Lord." I thought about the teachers that filled in for Brother Dave and had to go in that fifth and sixth grade class this week. You don't think those teachers that went in there was praying, "Oh God, help me this day. Though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm going to tell you, there's been people praying this week. How many are getting the message? I'm not done yet. Florence Jones wants to come out, but she can't because after she walks a little bit, she runs out of breath. Clara Jobes is here, but she's battling with her eyes. Little Mary's always got swelled up arms. Bob and Mildred Clifford, they've had surgery for cancer and things. They're through it, but they're still battling it. Still got to face it. Carl and Mary's here, hurting inside. Carl spoke that night, the last day of the year. It was so moving. Carl very says stuff, but he opened his heart up that day. And you that weren't here don't understand what I'm talking about. Those that were here know what I'm saying. There's a couple that loves God, got a lot of hurt inside because a lot of heartache has happened in their life. Their son had to move out of his house that they lived there yesterday. They've been there many years. I wonder how many times they cried out, "Oh Lord, help us get through this." And Marty Boggs with her curvature spine. And Brenda Gobbin trying to raise children alone. And the list goes on and on. I put down, and what about, and that's not to say all the things that's going on with the Whitaker family. Dee Cottrell, Eddie White and Liz, and Myrtle Dice. You know Myrtle Dice is out of work. By the way, Davey just finally got a job. I thought about Bill and Mary Kaczewski. They've went through a lot of things lately. And the Kleinen family. And the Dickel family. And the Coleman family. And the Brummett and the Tagannans. And McCarla family. And the Stevens family. There's been a lot of sickness. And the Sky, Dave and Shannon Skyver. And the Sable family. Do you realize what Sables go through? And the Mylar family. Talked to Julie for about an hour this week. Some things are, and I could go on and on and on. I could mention every one of you. You see, I know about all your lives. That's what Paul said, and the care of the churches. Brother Leo still can't see good. Brother Leo can't see good yet, but Emmy's his eyes. Amen. Look at Psalms 102. Hear my prayer, O Lord. You know, many times in our troubles and heartaches and afflictions, we wonder, does God even hear our prayer? How many have ever prayed and said, God, do you even hear? How many felt like after you prayed, did God even hear our prayer? I thought about Mike and Belinda sometimes when they have went through a lot of stuff and all the pressures that go on. And I'm sure Mike and Belinda's prayed, oh, God, help us through this. You can always tell when Mike's stressed, he gets these little things on his lip. He's already lost his hair. So, by the way, Brother Mike, I'm losing mine. They told me last night and David was clapping. Bruce Truax and Miriam, I wonder how many times they cry out this week, oh Lord, help us. I thought of Norma, oh Lord, help us. I thought about Lou Griffey. A lot of our widows that are hurting so bad and miss their spouse so much. I wonder how many times Lou Griffey cried out this week, oh Lord, help me to get through this day. You know, our widows hurt a lot. We need to pray for them and take care of them. Amen? Come on, amen? Seems like sometimes when we pray, our God doesn't hear our prayer. Seems like nothing's happening when we pray. Sometimes we feel like, what's the use of praying? How many of you ever felt like that? If you don't lie, you'd probably say yes. But I know that Satan would put that thought in your heart not to pray. But you keep praying. Even though you think God don't hear you, and even though you don't think something's not happening, you keep praying. God does hear you, and He is going to make something happen. Even teenagers. Does God hear teenagers, or just have to open hear big kids too? He hears teenagers. I thought about in the book of Genesis as we're reading through. Abraham had a son called Ishmael. And when Ishmael was 13 years old, he had to leave the camp, him and his mother, Hagar. And the scripture says that they ran out of water and he was out in the desert dying. And the scripture says, and I noted it in Genesis 21:17, for God hath heard the voice of the lad. That teenager, Ishmael, 13, was praying to God and God heard his voice. What's the use of praying, preacher? I'll tell you, a lot. God hears your voice. God hears your prayer. Does he see your... God, by the way, sees your tears, too. Yes, he does see your tears. 2 Kings 20, verse 5. God said to King Hezekiah, I heard thy prayer, and I've seen thy tears. God hears your prayers. And God sees your tears. Not one drops that God don't see. Psalms 56:8. Thou tellest my wanderings. See, God watches. See, God sees us all the time. Andy, God sees every tear that ever drops from our eyes. God sees our wandering. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into a bottle. Are they not in thy book? God records all those tears. Did you know that? Malachi 3:16. The Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. Jeremiah 9:1. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears. Can I tell you something, church? Tears are a language that God understands. Tears is a language that God understands. God knows about Holly. He knows about Joe and Megan. He knows about you, Brian. He knows about you, Dave, and the trials you're going through. Every one of you, you think, does God really know about my life? Yes, He does. Does God really take an interest in my life? Yes, He does. You're important to God. You're very important. Tears are a language that God understands. Now listen, if you cried tears this week, let me tell you something. God Almighty saw every one of them. If you had tears of brokenness, God saw each one of them. Praise God. One day, though, my Bible tells me in Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm God. I'm going to a place one day when there's not going to be no more tears. Amen. Right now, tears are common to man. Did you hear what I said? Right now, tears are common to man. Psalms 102:2, look at this. O Lord, hide not thy face from me. How many see that in verse 2? You know, do you ever notice that? Look what it says there in verse 2. Hide not thy face from me the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call, and answer me speedily. God, I need you right now. Hurry up. Are we like that? I noticed something. Oh, Lord, hide not that face from me. God, I'm in trouble. I need you right now. Answer me speedily. Hurry up, I can't wait. You know when I, Ruth, you know why God, I think that God doesn't answer us all the time right away? Because, Eddie, if he answered us right away, we'd quit seeking him. I think a lot of times God just waits just to help us to seek him more. See, we get too self-dependent. God wants us to be dependent on him. We get too self-sufficient. God wants our sufficiency to be in him. How many are hearing me today? I remember Dr. Hiles telling a story. He always kept wandering off from his mama at the store. So one day he wandered off. She kept saying, Jackie boy, don't wander off. Jackie, don't wander off. One day, after telling him to, he just kept doing it. So when he walked away, she hid down. And Jackie boy looked around. He said he couldn't find his mom. He went, Mom! No answer. Mom! 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 I want my mommy! Finally, after he was in complete terror and running through trying to find his mommy, here I am, Jack. Seth, there might be times in your life where God just might hold back and say, I'm going to let Seth call for me a while. Boy, Jackie just ran, hugged his mom and said, oh, Mommy, I'm so glad to be close to you again. A lot of times God just waits for us to try to run to him and get closer. He doesn't answer because he wants us to keep seeking him. It's a Sabbath. It's about the only time we seek God, Josh, is when we're sick and or some problem. Why can't we seek him when things are going good? It's not natural, is it? So God says, I think I'll just stand back and see what happens. By the way, and Lord, I want you to hurry up. Hurry up, God. I can't wait. Yeah. It's like the guy that prayed, Lord, I need patience. Please give it to me and hurry up. I can't wait. And we're like that, you know, we're so sufficient. God wants us to lean on him, though. I remember a guy telling me a joke years ago about the farmer that was in the barn, and he fell out of the loft. And as he was falling down to the, he yelled, Lord, help me! And the moment he said, Lord, help me, one of the big nails were hanging out and caught one of the straps of his bibs. And then he said, never mind, Lord, I'll do it myself. I'll get it myself. That's how we are. That's why I think a lot of times God just says, you know, I think I'm going to go through this. I like them calling to me. I like them trying to get me in their life. I like that they're trying to seek me and know that now they need me. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Amen? And then, look at verse 4. Sometimes we get such a broken heart that we don't even, nothing matters to us in life. By the way, did you know something, Brother Eddie? When I get that place in my life where when my life is so broken and nothing matters, that's usually a good place where God can work with you. Because when my spirit is broken, that's when God can work in me the best. Because then we're open to his spirit. Amen? And then look at verse 6. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. A pelican don't belong in the wilderness. A pelican belongs on the ocean where there's water. One of my favorite spots in the world is Naples, Florida. The Lord has blessed us. We've got to go the last 4 years. We've got to go there. I've watched those pelicans. And anyone that's ever been in Florida, let me tell you something. They love their pelicans. Don't hurt. Eddie, those pelicans will fly, and they're big. Man, they're huge. They remind me of, they're bigger than Canadian geese. Even the bigger Canadian, man, and they fly over, me and David thinking, boy, we could drop them right now. Like those Canadian geese. I'm going to tell you, if you mess with one of those pelicans, you would be get the wrath of the Floridians. They would put you in, you can kill a baby, but you can't kill a pelican. I'm serious. Well, they kill babies every day in abortion. But you better not touch one of those pelicans. Did you ever watch a pelican? They're really a neat bird. How many of you ever watched pelicans? They're really a sharp bird. They're big. And by the way, if you're fishing, fellas, if you see a bunch of pelicans, there's probably fish in that area. Because those pelicans go with fish. But I'd love to watch them. They'll be flying all of a sudden. You ever hear of dive bombers? Straight down, man. They come right up and they got a fish in their mouth. It is so cool. But did you know something? That pelican has to be in that water. I'm leading up to a truth. I'm going to let you out. He wouldn't make it in the wilderness because the wilderness doesn't have the water and the fish. So what God's trying to show you here is this. That pelican and that owl, what he said there, they're out of place. The pelican, look at verse 6. I'm going to give you a truth here in just 1 minute. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. Well, there ain't, the owls don't work in a desert. They got to live on rabbits and mice and stuff. There ain't too many rabbits and the mice in the desert. Hello? No, he's showing you something. The pelican don't belong. The pelican doesn't belong in the wilderness, and the owl doesn't belong in the desert. If you put them there, they would be out of place. They would be in a place that they don't belong. They would be in a place, Lizzie, that they couldn't have, the habitat wouldn't be for their life. Are you with me? Let me, I noted here. In the midst of all your suffering in this life, you need to understand one great truth. The earth is not our home. We, Carl, we are out of place here in Ravenna, Ohio. Just like the pelican would be out of place, Brother Brian, as you and I go through this life, we're out of place. This is not our home. Look up here. We don't belong here. Listen, we are just a continually remind ourselves. We are, when we get all these sorrows and heartaches, we're to continually remind ourselves, and I remind myself, and I try to tell people, boy, I'll be glad when Jesus comes back. I'll be glad when Jesus comes back. I'll be glad there won't be no cemeteries, and there won't be no more hospitals. Amen? We need to continually remind ourselves in our sickness and our heartaches and our sorrows, we don't belong here! This isn't our home! We're just pilgrims! Soldier! We're just passing through! In Hebrews 11:10, Abraham, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Look, Christian, we're going to go through a lot of old lords during our life. This isn't our home. Our home is in heaven. We need to look beyond this life and look to the next life. How many are with me? That's how you make it through this. And far off persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I wrote this down. Hey, listen. We are just temporary passing through the earth on our way to eternal glory in heaven. We that are saved. And we got to remember, as we pass through this temporary earth, we're going to see heartaches and have sorrow and sickness and pain. But oh, praise God. It's going to pass. Because this isn't where we're going to be. See, we're out of place here. This is not our home. Amen? See, we're going to a place, Eddie, where there's no more sorrow, no more tears, where no one ever gets sick or no one ever dies. Amen? Look at verse 7. I'm done. Psalms 102, verse 7. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Sometimes you might think and feel, I'm all alone. God, where are you? God, are you still there? God, do you still care? Brenda, there's going to be days, Brenda, you're going to say, oh, dear God, I don't know where you are and I need you. Lord, please help me. Diane, you and Archie's going to go, oh, God, are you even there still? Do you still see our problems? Sometimes we feel, Carl, we're all by ourselves. We're all alone like that little sparrow on top of a house. I know this life is filled with so much sorrow. But you're not alone, and you're not forsaken, and you'll make the journey to the other side, Eddie. Yes, we will, Lizzie. And I know this life is filled with so much heartache and grief and pain, but I want to tell you, Christian, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep on your journey.